Fires deep, middle of the field, intercepted. An incredible pick by Patrick Peterson.
Welcome to Arizona Cardinals Underground, presented by the Arizona Cardinals mobile app. Visit azcardinals.com/app.
Touchdown, Arizona!
The latest news and notes from the guys who cover the team.
Great move to the right at the 50. Cuts back to the left at the 40. He's loose at the 30. He's at the 20, the 10. Touchdown, Cardinals!
Rise up and make a play.
He's hit by Chandler Jones and sacked.
You've got to be kidding me.
Touchdown, Larry Fitzgerald!
This is football at its finest.
Here's Paul Calvisi.
If you need a reminder that it's a new year, a new season, there will be change. Kyle, why don't you go ahead and open up that blind right behind you, that window that peers out to the Cardinals practice field here from the Cardinals studios at Cardinals HQ. This is Cardinals Underground. Paul Calvisi, Kyle Odegaard, Darren Urban, and gentlemen, if you look out that window, you'll see the Cardinals practice field being replaced. It was scraped up, brand new turf is being installed. Is that not a symbol for what is going on right now here, early stages of 2018?
That is an apt metaphor right there.
It's just one of the fields. There's another field that's okay.
Darren, come on.
Oh,
work with me. Okay. Work with me. All right. Can we get some teamwork to start 2018 here?
Absolutely, Paul. That is an amazing analogy
there. Yeah, that's kind of okay. There's so much change, Darren, that it even comes down to the practice field as we say, welcome into Cardinals Underground. Where do you start with that one? We sort of hinted at it a few weeks ago, and we kind of went down that road of speculation and all that, but guess what? The Cardinals are officially in the market for a head coach quarterback combo here in 2008. You might as well rewind to 2013 at this time when Steve Keim had the same challenge straight ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost the exact same thing. I do think they had a quarterback under contract at that moment. I think Brian Hoyer was still a restricted free agent, and they still had him around at the point where they didn't have any other quarterbacks or a coach. And at this point, the Cardinals have no quarterbacks under contract for 2018. I'm sure that will change, and it probably will change even quicker than necessarily free agent. I wouldn't be surprised if one of these guys might get a new contract, just in case going forward. We'll see what happens. But it happened quickly. And really, you know, if Bruce Arians was going to step away, it was going to happen quickly. We've definitely talked about that. He had talked about that. If he was going to not be the coach, they needed to know right away. So the fact that it all came down, well, for the team, it came down right after the game Sunday, and then for everybody else, Monday morning, that was going to happen. And frankly, if you're Carson Palmer and you've been mulling your future for weeks now because you haven't been playing, I mean, you couldn't even say I'm focused on the season because there was no season to focus on because you weren't playing. He's probably known for a long time. And for him to just kind of make that break makes sense, although, and we can get into this later, the idea that, he just dropped the letter off and went on his way. He's on vacation with his family when all that came down is so Carson Palmer.
There's no doubt about that. And if and when Larry gets to that point, it'll be probably pretty similar, right? We've already decided about that.
He definitely won't be around. I mean, he'll be a little bit more out there, I think, Players Tribune, in terms of how he might say he's retiring. I mean, it might be a letter, but it'll be blasted out there. It won't be, something that's going to go on azcardinals.com, which I want to say, Carson, I really appreciate the fact that you were willing to make that announcement through us. That was very cool. Yeah.
Although it would have been great if he would have been in front of the mic. We didn't get that. But with Bruce Arians, we got that. In fact, here was the official announcement.
We built this program on three words: trust, loyalty, and respect. I told our team last night I was done. I'm retiring. Excuse me. And they lied to you. And there's no greater feeling in the world than to know your players have your back.
That's Bruce Arians speaking to a PAC press conference and speaking in the past tense. It was emotional, was it not, Kyle?
Yeah, that was really powerful. You could tell the different emotions that he was feeling, where he's given his entire life to football. You can tell how much he loves the game, but it was really cool to me for him to realize that there is more beyond football. Family is obviously something that's really important to him. It's something where he wasn't able to be around as nearly as often as maybe a regular parent because football is such an all-consuming job. So I'm sure it's going to be tough for him not to be coaching anymore, especially as the head coach when he did everything his way. He was winning. He just had a great time. It seemed like even until the end, he was really enjoying being a head coach. And it's a tough situation for him, but The further he gets away, I think he's really going to enjoy the fact that he can spend time with his family. And then, as he said, you know, I'm going to try to stick around in some capacity. I wouldn't be surprised if he's on TV at some point and he can kind of bless the world with everything we've heard every day.
The tears were real. Nobody kept it real like BA for 5 years. In fact, if you stick around at the end of Cardinals Underground here, our Jim Omohundro has put together a masterful montage of some of the best of BA from 5 years.
It's some funny stuff.
No doubt. And there's going to be a lot of bleeps. He's got to add a lot of bleeps. It's BA. The B in BA stands for bleeps, and in this case stands for bye.
Told you before, there would be reasons. Family is a big one. And I will miss the game. I actually miss you guys. Hell, I might be on your side. I don't know.
Don't be surprised if he shows up on a TV near you next season.
I could totally see that. You know, again, you talk about the bleeping out and those kinds of things, and that would be something that he would have to tame in himself because, you know, I've heard enough live broadcasts around where he's dropped some words.
You're right.
And he doesn't think anything of it, and it's not when I say he doesn't think anything of it, he's not. It's not like he's doing it on purpose, and he doesn't care.
It's part of his vernacular.
He just doesn't think, and it just comes out so naturally that it would be kind of tough for him to be on live TV.
You know what? That was the first impression I received of Bruce Arians. The very first OTA practice he ever ran with a word, which I don't think we were allowed to see, and the word I got from people who were there was, "Wow, the language was raw." Not only him, but the entire coaching staff. You knew there was a new identity in the Cardinals coaching office and out on that practice field behind us that's now torn up when Bruce Arians and company took the field in 13.
And that was the cool thing about him is he came in and he told everybody his philosophy is coach him hard and hug him later. When he was out there, yeah, he was very colorful language. He would yell at guys. It didn't matter if you were the best player on the team or the 90th guy on the offseason roster. He wanted you to do it correctly, and he'd let you know if you didn't. But the brilliant thing about him is he could do that, but he still managed to have these relationships with the guys where he would find time to talk to them and bring it down a little bit when he wasn't on the practice field, maybe a quiet moment in the locker room or when he saw him around the facility. And he's just always such a master motivator where he got guys to practice hard. He always got guys to play hard for him. And I think even for 5 years, when you have the same coach, I think anybody being around somebody for 5 years, you start not to like certain things about him. And when he's that honest, especially publicly to the media about his players, that might rub guys the wrong way sometimes. But even, you know, you listen to Justin Bethel the day before Bruce Arians, or, you know, an hour before Bruce Arians retired, and he was saying how much he respected him and he appreciated that he was honest. And he's the guy that, you know, Arians called him a failure in progress, which was probably the most biting commentary of any player. And the fact that Justin Bethel still had respect for him, I think, goes a long way in showing you what Bruce Arians' relationship was like with his players.
Yeah, and I was going to, if you hadn't brought up the Bethel thing, that's the thing that struck me. And obviously when he said all that, we didn't officially know he was retiring, although obviously all the players did. So they knew in the concept. I mean, he talked about it before about how all the players lied. If you go back and all three of us were in the locker room after the game in Seattle, when they were asked about Bruce Arians, they all did a masterful job of acting like they didn't know and playing off. I mean, the fact that he had just said, as we all saw later in the post-game video, post-game speech video, that, you know, this is my last game. They all knew it. And for us to come in 3 minutes later and for them to play dumb like they did was really impressive. But the Bethel thing, when you're the failure in progress, I mean, if you had to pick one thing Bruce said about a player, good or bad, in his 5 years that you remember the most, it was that one.
Well, and what about knee deep?
Yeah. Well, knee deep was, but here's the thing. That had a happy ending. And I think that's why, a relatively happy ending, and that's why, to me, the Bethel thing really resonates, that he not only was saying he appreciated how blunt he was, but I even saw on Twitter, one of the players tweeted out how much they respected him and how they're going to miss him, and Bethel retweeted it or liked it or something to kind of endorse it. And to me, that's, I mean, Justin Bethel not only got called a failure in progress, but then took a pay cut, got the starting job, and then lost it. I mean, if there could have been anybody more bitter at the end than Justin Bethel, I can't imagine it. And yet he was still willing to praise Bruce Arians.
Although I did get the sense Bethel all along wanted his free agency as soon as he could get it. And that's why he traded, you know, the salary cut for return for, you know, his freedom after this contract runs out here.
But he could have chosen free agency last year if he truly wanted it, because they would have just released him if he didn't agree to the pay cut. So
that's true.
It was his, and some of it's a business decision when you look at, hey, they had an open cornerback spot and I can compete. And obviously he won it early, so the playing time was there. But the comment didn't make it an irreversible situation between him and Arians.
Although for him to enter free agency off last season, that would not have been in his best interest. I could see where he wanted to play this 1 year, try and build a thinking he was going to be a starter all year long.
You know,
I could see the strategy. But to go back to what you guys were talking about and how the players covered for BA until his Monday press conference, well, here's exactly what he told the team in the winning visiting locker room in Seattle, courtesy of azcardinals.com.
I can't thank you enough. That's the greatest effort I've ever seen. This last month, what you guys have done is absolutely amazing. You have to be so proud of the character and the heart that you have shown. It's been my pleasure to be your coach. I was going to wait to tell you tomorrow. That's my last game. I love all of you, every single one. And man, I'm going to miss the hell out of you. I promise. Thank you, guys.
Coach, I think I can speak on behalf of everybody in the room. We love you, too. We love the leadership that you brought to this team. You know, today you became the winningest coach in Cardinals history. I want to give you a game ball for that. I couldn't think of a better place to make it happen than right here. Thank you, guys, for making it happen here for Coach Arians. This is outstanding.
There you go. All access from the Cardinals locker room on the road in Seattle, where they win for the fourth time in 5 years under BA to go 8-8. Team President Michael Bidwill doing a little role reversal there, giving BA the game ball. And then the next day, I was taken by the comments from Drew Stanton and how his impression of BA, and probably no one knows him better in terms of that locker room than Drew Stanton, just how he's authentic. That's the word he used, authentic, and how the players appreciated that, to your points earlier. Guys knew where they stood. And in the NFL, where there's a lot of agendas and maybe some other things going on behind the scenes and up in the front offices, players appreciated knowing exactly where they stood. And as BA told the players repeatedly, if you want to know, come on in. I'll tell you the truth. You may not be able to handle it. You better prepare yourself mentally, but I'll tell you.
Yeah, I think that authenticity stands out. And I wrote a little bit yesterday about his confidence and his swagger that I think really permeated the entire team, where the Cardinals in their franchise earlier were, when they'd have good seasons, people looked at him as maybe a scrappy underdog upstart type team. And when Bruce got here, it just felt like he always thought his team was going to win. He brought that onto the field, and eventually, you know, that confidence kind of trickled down on everybody else. And that's what Jared Valdir was talking about when he got here. He's like, we'd play in a tough environment in a big game, and we would never feel like we shouldn't win that game. And I think you saw it in Seattle a lot, and all these big games that they won, I think was in large part because of the way Arians treated it every single day, you know, from the off season to game week and game day. He felt like he had the better players and was going to win that game. And then you look at the close games, he went 32-12-1 in one possession games, which is just incredible when most coaches are right around 500. So you know, some of that is probably a little bit of luck, because if Blair Walsh makes that field goal, you lose that game and different things like that. But the fact that he was aggressive, he was good at clock management, and his players always felt like they were going to win close games, I think that all played a role.
Well, and you talk about if Blair Walsh, you know, makes that, then he loses that close game, which is true. But then you look back, and if Chandler Catanzaro makes the one against the Patriots, they get that one. Or, you know, there's
Seattle.
There might be some balances.
6-6 tie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's really incredible. And I agree with what Kyle said the other day, well, said right now, and wrote the other day about, you know, just the confidence and it'll be interesting to see who they bring in as a coach, because we all know the team ends up taking the personality of the coach in many ways, no matter who your players are. And this team was very much a Bruce Arians team and got there quickly. And in a lot of ways, these are big shoes to fill, even though they are coming off a couple of non-playoff seasons.
We were on the air a few hours later. I was on with Wolf, and I said, this team isn't just looking for a head coach. It's looking for an identity. Yeah. And I think you guys agree. They're looking for a personality. There's no doubt. They fed off the swag. To your point, and you wrote about it, Valdir saying, I didn't even get that with the Raiders. You think the Raiders and the silver and black and that brand and everything. He said, no. He said, when we went into big games, I had much more confidence under Bruce Arians. And it was sort of a game week process. The entire week he would get you there. So that's what the Cardinals are looking for. And here's team president Michael Bidwill on the search.
He leaves the team in a very good position. We feel like, notwithstanding the injuries we had this year, the way we finished, talked a lot about the culture that he's helped build. It's been a great working relationship between Steve and BA and me, and we're going to miss him. We're going to miss him a lot.
And I think we were all standing there in his first training camp, and it was a couple days in, and he just unloaded on Larry, just verbally ripped him for missing a block, and it was by design. You could tell. You know, he held the best player, the future Hall of Famer, accountable. And then Drew Stanton told the story of how Larry was kicked off the practice field early for having the wrong practice attire. And Larry's like, wait a minute, really? And come on, if you had zoomed out and looked back on that now, and I would have loved to ask BA this question if he would have fielded questions, but he didn't. I understand why. It was emotional. But I'm sure all that was by design. Right, Darren? Don't you think that he targeted a guy, just like he targeted the Calais Campbells over the years, making sure he held the top guys accountable so it trickled down through the locker room?
I think there was a certain part of it that was on purpose. But I really believe...
authenticity?
Here's the thing. Let's talk about the Bethel thing one more time. I do not believe he was planning on going into that press conference expecting to call Justin Bethel a failure in progress. That was just his gut reaction
to that
question.
Just him being blunt.
And I think, you know, were there times where he might have called out a Calais Campbell or a Larry Fitzgerald and thinking, I'm trying to send a message? Yeah, I think there probably was. But I will also say that I would be willing to bet a lot of the times when he did that, let's say it was Fitz, it was because his first reaction is, what the bleep are you doing, Larry? Why the bleep are you doing it that way? And it's not to send a message. It's because he saw a player doing something he didn't like. And I really, truly believe he operated in a lot of ways like that. Now, the fact that he could get or he was in a place where he felt like it didn't matter if it was a Larry Fitzgerald or the 53rd guy in the roster, that's a little different for a lot of head coaches. But let's face it, as we look at the big picture of Bruce Arians, he was significantly different than a lot of head coaches, period.
And A.Q. Shipley spoke of that. He goes back three teams, the Cardinals, the Colts, and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Here's a Cardinals starting center who, by the way, did not miss a snap this season, A.Q. Shipley.
That guy, I get choked up talking about him because he brought me in my rookie year. I've been with him 7 years, so anything that we can do as a team to if he does decide to go out on a high note, then I think that was our goal.
Could you tell on his face how meaningful this win was to Bruce Arians?
He was fired up at halftime. I mean, he wanted us to come out and not take our foot off their throat, not take our foot off the gas pedal, and just keep grinding. And I think we did a good job doing that.
That's from our post-game radio interview. As I think back now during that interview, I was asking about BA and his future, and he sort of raised an eyebrow, sort of John Belushi style, to go old school with you, and he sort of gave me this look. I should have known right there. Should have known right there that BA had announced it. But
your instincts are failing, Paul.
You only figure that out later. And on radio, nobody could really see it. So there you go, A.Q. Shipley. And yeah, you sort of hit zoom out, and it turns out that BA did the same thing in reaching this decision going all the way back to last summer.
Probably one of the hardest things for me this year was sitting at the lake this summer, and Chris said, you know, Jake's going to be 40. And I mean, it hit me like a ton of bricks that I missed all that time. And that's coaching.
And you begin to understand why he made the decision. Because honestly, and you guys can agree or disagree, and I know you will, over the last couple of weeks, he had professed his excitement for coaching, said he still had the want to and the desire, and still got up at 5 a.m. You could tell in his eyes, I think he meant it.
Heck yeah.
I mean, he's not burned out on the game. He's just trying to devote more time to his family.
I think him and Carson both enjoyed the game a lot. They enjoyed every step of the game, going back to off-season work and even training camp, where some guys hate training camp. But I think both of those guys really enjoyed the entire process. And if Bruce Arians doesn't have a family, yeah, he's probably going to keep coaching and until he just dies one day. But the fact that, you know, he does have the family, and you could tell how much they mean to him. You could tell just from that quote. Yeah. Like, he was very conflicted. He's going to miss this game so much. But, you know, from a personal standpoint, it's cool that he did that, because I think you need this aspect of your life as well. And I think he can still stay in and kind of pass along his knowledge in different ways. But it's just so time consuming to be an NFL head coach that I'm glad for him.
I mean, in his statement, Darren, Carson Palmer cited the grind as one of the things he'll miss the most. I mean, that's usually the reason the guys get out, is the grind.
Well, to me, when you start talking about Carson Palmer, I always got the impression I think he was good at a lot of what the job entails as a high profile NFL quarterback. He was good with the media. He was good leading the team. He was good being out there in front of the fans, you know, playing football. But I think the stuff he enjoyed the most wasn't that stuff. I mean, I think while he was good about with the media, I think if he had his druthers, he wouldn't do it.
Agreed.
I think a lot of the times, as much as he liked the games, I think he liked the locker room and the practice field more. I think he liked the behind the scenes stuff more. He still liked being around his teammates, but and you have to love the game. But you know, again, and I was writing this in one of my blog posts, the things he said when he came back off the ACL injury, when he was getting ready for the 2015 season, and as we saw, getting ready for his most magnificent season he played, coming off that knee injury on top of it, you really knew how much he enjoyed the process of getting ready and getting better and practicing. And it is funny you bring that up, because the guy that in a lot of ways his career paralleled in terms of being in Arizona, which is Kurt Warner, you know, Kurt said it was the mental grind that really wore him down, that made him want to leave. Whereas I think Palmer still easily could do it. I think it's the other way, which is, in a lot of ways, he and Bruce are the same. I think if Carson Palmer was single, I think he's probably still playing. I think the fact he's got all these little kids at home and a wife and the realization that he doesn't want to be a lifer like that, you know, then I think that's a big thing. And one more point on that, I got a slew of people when Kurt Warner retired, and I still hear from them, why won't the Cardinals hire Kurt Warner as a coach? And now I've heard some of the same things about Carson Palmer. They're leaving the game in part so they're not spending as much time with an NFL team. They're not going to be coaches. Does Kurt Warner, is he willing to be a consultant? Yeah, but do I think he wants to do the grind of an NFL coaching staff? No.
He's already said that, I think.
And yeah, he has. And Carson Palmer absolutely doesn't. Now, you know, I, in fact, I talked to him and Drew Stanton about it a little bit when I did a story on Byron Leftwich. Doing the same kind of thing. Drew Stanton might be a different kind of thing. I think he loves his family time, but Drew Stanton is good enough to be a coach. I just think Carson's going to be the kind of guy. He might be around the game here and there, but I think he's going to be all in with the family and kind of disappear. That's what I think.
There was a moment at the end of the Seattle game right before the Cardinals kicked what would be the game-winning field goal. It was that key third down in the red zone. And he comes over to the sideline. There was a timeout on the field. And he starts laughing with B.A. And then later I asked him, what was that all about? And he was disagreeing with B.A.'s play call on that key third down. That's Drew Stanton and Carson Palmer. I mean, their knowledge of the offense and the game is so vast. You're absolutely right. They're like coaches on the field. In fact, I texted one of Carson's, 400 former offensive linemen that have blocked for him over the years, and he said the thing that impressed him the most with the Cardinals was how he would lead offense-only meetings without the coaches. He would bring all the guys in. He would have his own cut-ups, his own video, stuff that had not been covered, stuff that he thought was a danger zone or a critical point of emphasis in the game about the other team's defense, and he would lead his own film sessions, minus the coaches, with the offensive guys that he wanted in that room.
The thing I love about Carson is you would never know any of that publicly unless you hear it from somebody like that, another player, where he's never been a rah-rah guy, especially to the media. Like, he's so laid back and he'll answer your questions, but his leadership is such a different form than this guy who's going to try to put on a front. He's just very secure in what he does. he has such a small ego for a guy who had all this success throughout his career, number one pick, Heisman Trophy winner, all that stuff. But he's just so low key, and he did a really good job, like you're saying, of doing the work and leading by example more so than trying to put on this front where he was. And I think he was very comfortable in himself. And I think that rubs off on the guys where they also felt like they could be comfortable. And you never looked at Carson, if you were a rookie, and be like, oh, I can't ask him a question. He was always, you know, a guy who you could come up to and talk to. And I think that personality was a nice mesh with Bruce Arians. And there were a lot of different personalities in that locker room, leaders by different ways. And I think it all came together really nicely.
What will they miss the most? Well, here's Bruce Arians.
The tears you see are really tears of joy and peace. I'll miss the players. I'll miss coming out of the locker room, hearing the national anthem, because it still gets me. But somehow, some way, I'm going to be in touch with the game. And I'm not leaving the Valley. Very proud of our foundation and the work we're doing to help the children in this Valley. And that won't ever stop.
There you go. Bruce Arians are going to spend the majority of their time at their forever home on the lake in Georgia, but he'll still be a part of the community and the Bruce Arians Family Foundation, no doubt about that. Now, as for who's next, what's next, here's Michael Bidwill, team president, on what he's looking for in a new head coach.
Yeah, I think we're looking for primarily three things. I think we're looking for a leader. We're looking for somebody with a track record of performance, different places, different personnel, different things. And I think we're looking for somebody that's going to keep this culture of accountability moving forward.
In fact, as we do this podcast, Cardinals Underground, James Betcher is getting an interview. Reportedly getting an interview, the Cardinals defensive coordinator. He's not the only one that's been thrown out there. I'll just run through them real quick, guys. Pat Shurmur, the Vikings offensive coordinator. John DeFilippo, the Eagles quarterback coach. Mike Munchak, the Pittsburgh Steelers O-line coach, former head coach in the league. Matt Patricia, the D coordinator with New England. Brian Flores, the linebackers coach with the Patriots. And Philadelphia DC, Jim Schwartz, the former head coach of the Lions, are all on the list so far, and I might even missed one or two.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're in a position that it was very much underscored the last time the Cardinals hired a coach with Bruce Arians and being the last one to do it, that the Cardinals, I think, are going to take their time, and I would not be, I don't think there's any set timeline, and for it could turn out they're the first team to hire a coach, but would I be shocked if they ended up being the last team to hire a coach? I would not be shocked with that either. Now, there's different things in play. There's fewer openings this year than there were the last time the Cardinals had an opening. The Raiders job is technically open, but everybody's just waiting for John Gruden to get hired. So that, do you even count that as an opening anymore? Because that's basically been filled. So, I mean, there's a lot of things in play that I think might aid the Cardinals' thought process in terms of maybe going a little bit slower because you don't have as many teams you got to worry about. But
Do you think the Cardinals are at a disadvantage in the hiring process right now? If you listen to a lot of the national chatter, they say, oh, the Lions have Matthew Stafford and the Bears have Mitchell Trubisky and the Colts obviously have Andrew Luck if he's back from the shoulder injury. And it seems like more than ever head coaches are looking for a great quarterback to tie themselves to.
I don't necessarily think so, because look at the last 5 years of this organization and how much success the Cardinals have had compared to some of those teams. The Bears do have a young quarterback who looks talented, but if the Cardinals draft one in the first round who they're excited about, and this coach would have input on the player you're getting, and you have David Johnson and you have a defense that's really good, I think the stability here, and you've got a GM in Steve Keim who has shown that he's a guy who really knows what he's doing. He can fill holes. He has a good grasp of the salary cap. I think it's a desirable job because this is a team that's had a lot more success than a lot of those teams the past few seasons.
Yeah, and I would, Stafford's a great point. And does it help that Matthew Stafford is in Detroit? Yeah, I think it absolutely helps. But you still got to find a way to win. And there's been a couple coaches that have been fired with Matthew Stafford as the quarterback. So I certainly don't think that's a guarantee. I understand the concept of having somebody already in place. But, the Cardinals are going to have a quarterback. Now, are they going to have the quarterback of the future by April or May? Maybe not. I mean, we'll have to see how the draft plays out. We'll see how free agency plays out. But, again, when Bruce Arians was hired, there was no quarterback here. and they made a trade for Carson Palmer that I didn't really see coming until it happened. And even once it did happen, everybody's like, okay, what does that mean? Heck, we were 6 or 7 games into that first season where we were still wondering if Carson Palmer was the right answer. Yeah. And that turned out just fine. See, I think things change so much. I think if you're I think the quarterback thing helps if you're looking for a coach, but I don't see the right guy who thinks he fits with Steve Keim and this team passing it up just because there's that hole there, because things change.
Well, going back to Steve Keim at the press conference, it sounds like he likes where the Cardinals are at right now in terms of the roster.
It's an exciting time. We feel like we have a great core of talent on this football team. We'll make some improvements this offseason as well and hit the ground running for 2018. And
there's just no question that you have to answer the quarterback question. We just don't have an answer right now. It could come in any multitude of ways. Do you think that it'll be a point of emphasis, Kyle, to hire a coach with quarterback experience, developing that quarterback of the future? Meaning, I look at this list, and if there's one thing that surprises me, it's not necessarily the names, it's which side of the ball they're coming from. There's just as many defensive guys as there are offensive gurus.
I think you interview these head coaching candidates, and I think you kind of assess what they think, and I think you can tell, you know, in the interview process how you would mesh with them and their ideas. But another big part of it, if it's a defensive coach, who is your offensive coordinator? What's your plan on offense? So I don't think you necessarily need to get an offensive-minded guy as the head coach, but it would be nice to have a plan in place, who you're going to bring in with you, what kind of ideas do they have, how does that mesh with what we do here. So I think it's certainly something that you need to have a clear direction on. But as far as does it have to be an offensive guy who's a quarterback guru, I don't really think so.
I mean, if you're talking to Jim Schwartz or Matt Patricia or even James Betcher, my first question, who's your OC?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who's handling your offense?
Well, sure. I think that goes hand in hand with your quarterback situation. And again, you don't know everything. But yeah, I mean, I think you're going to have to know who's running this offense. And I do think if you hire a defensive guy, in a lot of ways, you know, that side of the ball already has a somewhat of obviously an advantage because of what they have. So not only do you need to know who's calling that offense, but you got to have confidence in that whoever is putting that offense together might be able to work with some lesser pieces at first, at least.
And Bruce Arians is an offensive guy, but their defense is the one that's really been carrying this team throughout the 5-year stretch. He made a great hire in Todd Bowles, who was fantastic and got a head coaching job, and James Betcher stepped in and did a nice job as well. So it's something where you definitely need to know, I think, who your OC is going to be and what kind of plan you have for that.
All we know for sure, and I think I'm pretty safe in saying this, is that whoever they hire as a head coach won't be nearly as blunt or as forthcoming as Bruce Arians. Okay, show of hands. Everybody agree with that?
Oh,
yeah, that's
so
unanimous, correct?
We're going to miss Bruce Arians' press conferences for sure.
I mean,
we might miss him more than any of the players.
Yeah. Young Kyle here is going to work another 50 years in this business, and you're not going to get someone nearly as colorful as Bruce Arians.
He's the best coach I've ever been around for quotes, for honesty, for, you know, they were so good his first 3 years, and everything was so peachy that it was awesome during that time. And then it was always like, okay, when they start losing a little bit, what's his personality going to be? And, you know, it's not as easy to be jovial, but he was always so respectful. He was always such a nice guy to us that, you know, it was a fantastic working relationship with him. And that's why I think all of us are going to miss him so much, because he was so good.
Well, how do you boil 5 years down to one montage? Gentlemen, for Kyle Odegaard, Darren Urban, yours truly, Paul Calvisi, there's one man who's always up to the task. That is our Jim Omohundro.
Holmes.
Here we go. Let her rip, Holmes.
That's as good a looking football team as I've seen in my 20 years of coaching, stepping in the first day. They're not a bad body in the room. Great looking bunch of athletes.
You saying you got a good body?
Yeah, buddy. Yes, indeed. 60 and sexy, baby.
Ooh, they like it.
Whoa,
who gives a
this NFL?
Oh, that's what it's all about. Something's wrong.
You gotta shake that off and keep on going.
Okay, not great, but solid. You know, this is a swagger.
I'm extremely pleased and happy. Couldn't come any better. You know, hopefully we get through today healthy.
Oops, I knocked somebody off.
I tried that one time. That hurt.
No, I don't give a he better learn what his role is here.
And say, hey, dude, full speed ahead.
After a day off, you should be fresh as a daisy.
He beat the crap out of me the first time.
Feels like
anybody got a boat we can borrow?
The air conditioning is wicked up there.
No risket, no biscuit.
Oh, God, I love Philadelphia. That was
I was 30, thought I knew everything. And about 5 years later, I finally get out of the hospital and said, I didn't know. But it was a great time. You know, gained about 30 pounds eating pretzels and drinking beer.
Great years in Cleveland, you know. Have you ever seen 40,000 beer bottles thrown on a field at one time? That's Cleveland.
I went over, wiped Carson's off his back, and he brushed mine off my back. Those monkeys are good to get rid of.
It's a cowboy movie. The two old guys, this is our last rodeo in the desert, you know. And let's make a good one.
Don't be the guy, you know. Too many times when a guy gets a day off, he gets tased in the South Beach or something. You know, we don't want any of that stuff.
Not me. I didn't get my ass run over. So hopefully the guys that got their ass run over, it motivates them.
Don't play scared, play smart.
Play dude coverage. I got that dude, you got that dude. It ain't that hard.
When you get an opportunity, you're either going to get exposed or you're going to get exposure.
My shoulder that Larry screwed up. I just got it injected and see if I have to have surgery on it.
You need him to pay for that or fine him?
Oh, he's going to pay. If I have to have surgery, he's going to pay.
You want to back tell him to kick him between the poles and don't hit the pole. Make your kicks.
Guys are in defenses doing different things, and they have no clue what the coach is asking, whether he's doing the right thing or wrong thing. And then all of a sudden I see a grade. He's a plus, I don't know what that plus three or four means.
Knee in his ass every day. Foot wasn't going to do it. So I nicknamed Knee Deep.
If you start thinking about stretches and playoffs and scenarios, you're going to get your ass beat. To me, you can't see on television. Not the way I like to watch it.
Winning your division, you still hang a banner. They'll put the year up there, division champs. They don't put the record usually. And nobody gives a shit. You know, it's all about hanging those banners. That's pretty cool.
Reggie had food poisoning. He stayed most of the day in the bathroom.
Thought there was a message on that son. You know what I mean? Certain guys want numbers. I think Larry will be the first one to tell you the only number that matters is W. That's a letter, though. Test scores don't have a damn thing to do with learning football. One of the dumbest players I ever had like a 36 on that test. And he couldn't learn football. Might have been an engineer or some but he couldn't learn football.
Quit doing it. Hold on to the damn ball and don't throw it to the other team. It's a big division game, so you would want them jacked up. But snot bubbles and tears don't win. You know, as soon as you get hit in the mouth, they dry up.
It's not a grind. That'll be a grind. One practice in air conditioning, and you stay in a five-star hotel. That ain't a grind. Grind is two practices, 3 hours, and both in pads in a dorm, you know, in some campus somewhere in the middle of nowhere. That's a grind. Two bars and nowhere to go. One for the players, one for the coaches.
Somebody texted me, hey, you punched your ticket. I said, yeah, we're trying to upgrade to first class.
Probably had him on his fantasy team or something, you know. Tough
tell him to practice.
Guys who look like All-Americans in shorts fade away. The guys who look like in shorts, they're football players. They show up.
Oh, yeah, they're patting you on the back. They're looking for a soft spot where to stick the knife. Same guy patting us on the back said we're going to lose the next 10 in a row.
He was very frisky. Might have been that outfit he had on in pregame warm-ups. Shirt torn and bandana and short shorts, and it was hilarious.
Anytime a player has a big game on Monday Night Football, it's street cred, you know, throughout the league. I think it just added more ice cream on top of his cake.
He was calm as a cucumber out there the other night, and it doesn't get any bigger than that one.
I know you guys are really upset about this being the last day here. I don't want to see any tears when we don't meet underneath that tree. I miss that thing dropping all that dirt on me when I was talking to you.
You had a meeting, you walk through it, and then you go practice it. If you can't get it by then, you're probably too dumb to play.
If I get any more animated, I think I'm going to have a stroke.
Yeah, I'm a Southern Fried Yankee.
I quit trusting my gut a long time ago. Some been lying to me forever.
I lie pretty good.
It'll be a lot of hugging and high-fiving, and then it's like playing your brother in the backyard. I'm kicking your ass.
Headphone problems, they happen a lot on the road. Yeah. One time in Baltimore, I had a hot dog vendor on a critical 4th-and-1 call. Hot dog vendor came on and started talking about they need hot dogs in some section. We couldn't get the play called. Coincidence.
He's a project just like we thought. Wild throws and no throws.
Coach, do you ever think you'd get to the point where people would be dressing up as you for Halloween?
No. I find that very shocking that someone would even want to try to do that. Except it's an easy costume. Yeah, you gotta have the attitude and a cocktail.
The thing that separates those young guys is backs on backers when we have pass blocking. Just get your ass kicked with dignity, you'll be all right.
Fatigue made idiots out of some guys yesterday. It'll make coward out of you quick, but it'll make an idiot out of you even faster. A lot of guys became idiots in that 2-minute drill yesterday.
We do have a lot of arguments. It's like going to Miss America. Is there an ugly girl there?
How you pick out the prettiest one? You know, that's kind of like the draft.
That's the dumbest damn question I've ever heard in my life. I swear to God. I had to laugh when I got heard on the radio. It's like, really? Yeah, that put a smile on my face.
Don't believe it. You know, it's a short elevator ride back to the house. All of a sudden, I'm the greatest damn coach in the world. I've been the sorry son for 17, 18 years now. I mean, it ain't changed just because we won a couple of games. With the new CBA, you only get so much time to practice, and we're not going to waste the stretching. Like I told him, if a Doberman jumped out of a car with a gun, your ass wouldn't be stretching. You'd be running.
I think some of the defensive guys were holding on to their ass. You know? What are you doing, Coach?
Yeah, everybody was here. Everybody was fantastic. I thought Dan Williams looked as sexy in a run test as he's ever looked. I was taught a long time ago, coach him hard and hug him later. Rip a guy's ass out there, just football. It's nothing personal. You're just talking about your football stinks. You're a pretty good guy.
They're in our division. Now, we don't like anybody in our division. I mean, I'll have dinner with them, but I ain't liking them. I ain't drinking with them.
I'm the cool uncle you like to have a drink with. Everybody had that uncle that you like, you really, you just love that uncle, you know? And he might call you a little or something. You really liked it. You know, that's me.
Thank you all for coming to my house. Hope you get home safe.